Send your Bibles to me this morning as we keep standing to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. I'm reading from the from King James Version. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been in now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, while I am coming, another one steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise up. Take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that day was the Sabbath. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. Is somebody glad to be in the house of God this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. There was a man that was going through a forest and he got to a certain place where he felt lonely. So he prayed and said, "Oh God, come and accompany me in this lonely journey." Because he was going for a missionary trip in a certain village that was very far. He had to park his car and walk for miles in order to get to that village. And to get to that village, there were forests, streams to cross, little rivers. Sometimes walking through the forest, he hears sounds of animals. And he was so afraid. So God had to assure him that he was with him. So at a certain point, as he was walking, he saw four footprints. He could see his own footprints and two other footprints walking beside him. He was assured that God was with him. Then at a certain point, he noticed that two footprints disappeared. When he looked back, he could only see two. So he started praying again and said, "God, I thought you were always going to be with me, as you said. How come you have left me in the middle of this jungle?" He sat down so discouraged. And then the Lord said to him, "The footprints that you saw are not your footprints. They are my footprints. The only reason why you saw two was because I carried you.
Amen.
I was the one walking. It wasn't your footprint."
Hallelujah.
I want to talk to you this morning with a caption, "You are not alone."
Amen.
As I tell somebody, you are not alone. Look at the neighbor who looks prosperous and tell the neighbor, "You are not alone." Look at the neighbor who is ready for a miracle and tell the neighbor, "You are not alone." Hallelujah. There is a difference between being alone and being lonely. You can be lonely in the midst of a people. You can be in a church and you are lonely. You can be married and lonely. You could have brothers and sisters and yet lonely. You could be in a big family and yet lonely. But to be alone is when you've come to that point in your life where it seems as if nobody is for you. It seems you're struggling all by yourself. Even though there are people who have surrounded you, nobody is willing to help you. I was talking to a lady who had a child that was sick. And she said, "The child is about to die in my house and it seems there is no one, either from a neighbor or family, that is willing to do anything to rescue my child." She was alone. But I came to tell somebody this morning, I don't know where you are, what you're going through. I came to tell you by the word of the Lord, you are not alone.
Amen.
As I tell somebody, you are not alone.
Amen.
Amen. In John chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast. I want to begin by saying there is nothing wrong with attending a feast. or a party. Because sometimes when people get born again or become Christians, they become socially awkward. They think everything is about prayer and fasting. You can also attend parties. You can attend feasts and celebrations. Hallelujah. Amen. But don't attend feasts or parties that have nothing to do with the glory of the Lord. That kind of party that at a certain time they turn lights off. Then people start to do touching one another. We are not talking about such parties. We are talking about when people gather to honor, whether to celebrate somebody for birthdays, for weddings, or whatever, but not to gratify the desires of their flesh. Hallelujah. So when we have parties, maybe some days when we get our own location, we can have couples night out. We're planning this before something happens. We're going to have couples night out, where we have just couples come to a place, we rent a hall, we cook some food, maybe just roast some chicken or fish, and every couple just come together, we have a good time, you dance with your wife or your husband, and have a good time, because some of you here, since you got married, you never danced with your wife or your husband. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to start practicing in church. Hallelujah. So, Christians can also have fun. Amen. We are not awkward people. We are not socially awkward. We can also have fun.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says there is a pool in that Jerusalem called Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy. So in this pool where people were gathered looking for mercy. I've explained to you there is a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. That's grace. But mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Meaning based on your actions, there are certain consequences that you deserve. But God in his mercy prohibits that consequences from manifesting in your life. When you have done something wrong and you are suffering the consequences, what you need is not grace. What you need is mercy. So it seems that the people gathered at this pool were people who had done certain things in their lives and were suffering the consequences of their action. So they gathered at this pool in order to obtain mercy. And the Bible said there were three kinds of persons in this pool. The first was the lame. When a man is lame, he's a man who cannot walk properly. People are lame in different ways. It means your walk with God has been disrupted. They are the kind of persons that start to walk with God this year. In January, they are on fire. In February, they backslide. March, they come back. In April, they fall back into sin. They are lame spiritually. They never walk straight. They never walk with God straight. You see them today on fire, the next day you see them, they're in the freezer. They never have a temperature that is high with God. They are fluctuating like alternating current. The second kind of person, the Bible said it was a paralyzed. The paralyzed talks about people that have been permanently damaged and kept at a certain spot. These are people that no matter the word preached to them, nothing changed about their life. It doesn't matter the prophecy they receive, the prayer that you give to them, they have made up their mind to stay at a particular position. Nothing can change their mind about prayer. Nothing can change their mind about giving. Nothing can change their mind about fasting. Nothing can change their mind about anything because spiritually, they are paralyzed. Then the third class of persons was the blind. These are people who cannot see anything. The devil is sitting beside their bed. They can't see. The devil is having a party with the kids at night. They can't see. The devil is right there with them in the car. They can't see because their eyes are spiritually blind. The Bible says they cannot see because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. I pray if you are any of this category today, may the Lord set you free.
Amen.
I say may the Lord set you free.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now imagine that this angel that came down to this pool was happening in our season, in this 21st century. That there was a certain pool somewhere in Africa or in America where an angel descended into the pool and anyone who stepped into that pool was healed. I can tell you that pool will be dry. There will be no water in that pool. Because these people that are thirsty for anointing water, anointing oil, will carry all that pool. But the people understood that it wasn't about the water. It was about the angel who came to trouble the water.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's not about the oil. It's about the God behind the oil.
Yes.
It's not about the water, it's about God behind the water. So when you put your trust in oil or in water, you have missed the point. It's not about the oil. It's not about the water. It's about the God that is behind the water or the oil. Anyone hearing me this morning? The Bible said that a certain man was there 38 years. I always read saying there was a man who was 38 years. No, he was sick for 38 years. Meaning he was older than 38 years. I don't know if the sickness began from birth or it started after birth. But he was sick for 38 years. And at this point in time, Jesus was about 31 years. Meaning this man was sick before Jesus was born. And when Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been in that condition for a long time. No man explained to Jesus what was going on, but he knew. Because our God is all-knowing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to let you know God knows about your situation. That secret tear that you share at night, that pain that you can't express to anybody, God knows about it. I say, tell somebody, God knows about it. That thing that is troubling you that you can't express to anyone, I came to let you know, God knows about it. Hallelujah. He knows. And then Jesus asked a question, which in human understanding is ridiculous. He said, do you want to get well? If I show up to the hospital and I see you out by the sick bed, you are taking me medication, and I said to you, brother or sister, you want to get well? You may suspect me of being the cause of your sickness. Because I'm obviously here in this hospital to get well. How are you asking me if I want to get well? But as I was studying, I realized that this pool was also a place where the wealthy folk went to show mercy. So those who were wealthy would go by the pool and do charity to those that were sick. So the reason why this man was in this condition for a long time was because he must have been receiving gifts from those donations that made him comfortable in his condition for 38 years. Because notice, when this man was sick, Jesus was in Jerusalem performing miracles. He never went to look for Jesus. He chose to stay at the pool because it was not just about waiting for the angel. There were certain charity organizations, donations going on at the pool. So they were comfortable in their condition. That is why Jesus Christ said, listen, I know you're having a good time collecting $2, $5 from people. Do you still want to get well? I know you've been used to your condition. You are being pitied by people. It has become your way of life, your means to make money, your means to live. Do you still want to get well? And sometimes there are Christians that are in trouble, but their attitude don't show that they need a solution. I told you many times how I've organized a fasting with some Christians. I said, let's meet in church on Tuesday to pray for your family. On Tuesday, I showed up in church, sat there reading my Bible, praying. Till 12 o'clock, nobody showed up. Nobody, no call, no show. Then I meet this family someday after. And I said, what happened yesterday? They said, oh, Pastor, sorry, we forgot. Do they really want to get well? I organize a prayer with them and they don't show up. There are people that have problems, but you need to beg them to attend fasting. They have issues, but you need to beg them to attend Bible study. Do you really want to get well? You need God to intervene in your life, but you can't pray. Prayer is a burden. Do you really want to get well? Because it's not about you just saying it. Your attitude should convey what you want from God. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Ask your neighbor, do you want to get well? Ask another neighbor, do you want things to change for you? Tell the neighbor, act like it. Tell him, act like it. Hallelujah. Act like it. And then Jesus said to him, rise up, take up the bed, and walk. I want you to notice that Jesus did not hold the hands of the man. He said, you rise up, take up the bed, and walk. Oftentimes, Christians spend time praying. We pray so much, but we take little action. That is why we spend time in church praying and unbelievers occupying our government offices. They are the governors. They are the senators. They are the market. They are designing the sexy clothes you're wearing because we spend time praying instead of taking action. It is time for us to go out there and begin to manifest the God-given potential that God has given to us. That in fashion design, we are the top. In politics, we are the top. In marketing, we are the top. In every area of life, we are the top. We are not just called to pray. We are called to pray and take over. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Hallelujah. He says, occupy till I come. We spend 300 days out of the 360 that we have in a year praying. Pray. Trusting God for things to change. Why unbelievers are taking over the social media. They are taking over information technology. They are making laws that will govern us and the church. It is time for the church to rise. And not just by prayer, but by faith in action. To take what God has given to them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says, immediately, the man rose up and started walking. Immediately. I want to let you know that any spontaneous action always carry a spontaneous result. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you act according to God's word spontaneously, there is always a spontaneous result accompanied with that action. And anytime God wants to change your life, God will give you an instruction.
Yes.
Yes. Your response to that instruction determines whether you come out from that situation or you stay in that situation. But oftentimes, we procrastinate. We delay. We do our own things. We make excuses. This man could have said, Lord, you know, I have been in this condition for 38 years. I can't just walk like that. Let me take it easy. You know, it's not just after 30 years for me to walk. There are many excuses that God we keep giving that God has asked us to do. God says, call your mother on this Mother's Day. You say, it's been 5 years we have not spoken. It's going to take time. He says, forgive your father. You say, no, I can't just forgive like that. It's going to take time. You keep making excuses for the things God has asked you to do. Go reconcile with your sibling. Say, no, it's going to take time. You are making excuses for everything that God is asking you to do. But let me tell you, delay obedience equals immediate disobedience. Can I say that again?
Yes.
Delay obedience is the same as disobedience. If the Lord says, do it now, and you do it after, it doesn't count. He wants you to do it now. Stop making excuses for the things God has asked you to do. Just do it. Because when you do it, the blessings of God will come.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are three things you must know in order to assure you that you are not alone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are three things you must know to assure you that you are not alone. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, go into the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, when you pass through the waters, you will not be drowned. When you pass through the fire, you will not be consumed. He said, I will be with you. He has guaranteed that he's always going to be there. But in order to have that assurance that God is there, number one, you need to know that God sees. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say God sees.
Amen.
In verse 6 of John chapter 5, the Bible says when Jesus saw that he had been in that condition for too long, Jesus went to him. There is no situation on earth that Jesus is not aware of. God sees.
Yeah.
You may think nobody sees your pain. Nobody sees your trouble. Nobody understands what you're going through. I came to let you know our God sees. And our God understands.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Being in the crowd, he must have been disappointed for all these years. He probably felt alone, abandoned. But Jesus saw his condition. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because he said, I have no man when the water is troubled. But Jesus saw his condition. Listen, the duration of your suffering does not indicate that God does not see what you're going through.
Yeah.
How long you have suffered doesn't mean that God has not seen your pain. In Genesis chapter 16, when Hagar got pregnant, the Bible says she started despising Sarah. And then Sarah became very angry because she was the one who gave her maid to the husband so they could have a child. But when Hagar got pregnant, Hagar now started thinking she was the madam of the house. And Sarah started maltreating Hagar. And Hagar ran away. Now in Genesis chapter 16 verse 9. When Hagar ran away, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord told Hagar, Go back to your mistress and submit to her. Verse 10. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that there will be too numerous to count. 11. The angel also said to her, you are now pregnant and you give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. Now verse 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. That's why we get the name Elroy. Elroy. The God who sees. The God we serve is Jehovah Elroy. The God who sees. When no man sees your pain, when no man sees your trouble, when no man sees your affliction, God sees. Hallelujah. I said God sees. You may be going through a difficult time right now. You feel you are all alone. You've tried and nobody seems to help. I came to let you know God sees.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God sees. In Psalms 33 verse 13 it says, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. He sees all mankind. In Proverbs 15 verse 3 it says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Let me say this to you. If you were going through a trouble and you put that post on Facebook about what you're going through, and then the richest man on planet Earth, who is who now? Elon Musk. He commented on your post and said, I see you. What would that mean to you? If he commented on your post saying, I see you. I'm sure some of us are going to make a screenshot of that post and plastify it and keep on the wall. Elon Musk just commented on my page that he sees me. I came to tell you somebody greater than Elon Musk is telling you, I see you.
Amen.
The King of Kings is saying, I see you.
Amen.
The Lord of Lords is saying, I see you.
Amen.
My daughter, you are not alone.
Amen.
My son, you are not alone. I see your pain.
Amen.
I see your mystery. Amen. I see how you've struggled. I came to let you know, you are not alone.
Amen.
God sees you. Tell somebody, God sees you.
God sees you.
I say, tell somebody, God sees you.
God sees you.
Number two. God is not a man. When Jesus said to the man in verse 6, do you want to get well? In verse 7, the man said, I have no man. Because he equated Jesus with every other man. To him, Jesus was a regular man like every other person who had disappointed him in the past. So to him, Jesus was a regular person. But little did he know that the one he was talking to was not an ordinary man. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent.
Yes, amen.
He did not come like one of those who had disappointed him in the past. He came to change his condition. God is not man. Men will promise and fail.
Yes.
Men will disappoint. Men will break your heart. A guy told his friend, I say, come to UK. I'll give you a job. You know, we make money in this place. After hyping this guy up, this guy went and sold the father's land. Got a visa, went to UK. Arrived at the airport, no friend. Called the number, number is not going through. Men will promise and he was frustrated in the airport. By the same friend who promised, when you come here, you have accommodation, you stay for how long you want, you continue to get a job. When he arrived, the number was not going through. Because man will promise and fail. There are people that stand on the altar and make promise. They write sweet vows. 6 months after, they walk out of the marriage because man is unreliable. But I came to tell you, God is not man.
Amen.
I said, God is not man.
Amen.
The God we serve is reliable. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. What he says is what he's going to do.
Amen.
Listen to me. The absence of men in your condition doesn't indicate the absence of God. The absence of men to help you get that job, to help you get that contract, doesn't indicate the absence of God. The absence of the things you are looking for doesn't indicate that God is absent. God is not man. God sees. And God doesn't change his mind. Hallelujah. And number three to understand is that God is always present. God is always present. Do you know that, like I said, this man was sick while Jesus was performing miracles in the same Jerusalem. So while he was waiting for an angel who only came once a year, there was a God in the land while he was trusting God that when the water is troubled, he could get in, there was a Messiah in the land. Always there. Always present. Performing miracles. Doing wonders. Changing lives. But he decided to sit at the pool because his trust was in that water and not in God. Isn't it amazing how people are running from church to church, place to place, prophet to prophet, looking for solution in places where the same God they're looking for is in their room. They have not knelt down to talk to that God, but they believe if I go see a prophet somewhere, my solution can come. But unfortunately, when the angel came, only one person was healed. That is why even though people gather in all these locations, not everybody is healed because they are depending on a man. But if you can trust in God and begin to seek God for yourself, God can either send you a man or God intervene himself to rescue you from that situation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God is present everywhere. There are people that are so bound by tradition and religion. I've seen a person who was sick. And I tell the person, no, this person, this woman had a child that was sick. And I told the woman, please bring the child to church on Tuesday so I can pray for the child. The woman said no. I said, well, I'm Catholic, born Catholic, baptized Catholic. So because you belong to a certain denomination, you can't go anywhere else. Because according to you, God is only in that place where you are. There are people that have been blinded by tradition and religion, not understanding that God is everywhere. Where you are looking for God, he may not be there. Maybe you are going to certain places where God has not sent him, because instead of looking for God in places, ask God and God will tell you where you can meet him. God said to Elijah, go to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow to feed you there. Elijah would have strategized by himself. Let me go back to my village. He would have died. But God had a location prescribed for him where his miracle was kept. God is everywhere. Hallelujah. God is everywhere. If you learn to seek him and trust him, you will find that God. I say you find that God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are not alone. In that your condition, God is there.
Amen.
In that situation, God is there.
Amen.
At night when you cry, God is there. When you feel lonely, God is there. When no man is helping, God is there. When no man is assisting, God is there. When no man is talking, God is there. When no emails are coming from that job application, God is there. When no miracle seems to happen, God is there.
Amen.
God has never left. He's always present.
Amen.
You see, he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. He is always there.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So instead of complaining about the people that are absent, take advantage of the Lord's presence.
Hallelujah.
Begin to worship him. Begin to thank him. Begin to magnify him, because when you begin to celebrate God in your life, every other person around you is insignificant. Listen, it says, when I will lift it up, I will draw men unto myself. You can worship God, and the same place where they have rejected you for that interview, they call you back, because God will talk to them about your case.
Yes.
But if you keep looking for people like this man, I have no man. No man to help me. No man to connect me, because in this world, it's all about connection. But there is a higher connection, greater than any human connection.
Amen.
There are people trusting on a Godfather, but they don't understand that there is God the Father.
Oh, yes.
I don't need a Godfather because I have God the Father.
Amen.
Because when you have God the Father, he can touch anybody anywhere to help you.
Yes.
But your Godfather can fail. Your Godfather may even die. But when you have God the Father, he can touch anybody anywhere to help you.
Amen.
I came to remind you and help you understand this morning, brother or sister, you are not alone. Maybe you're watching me this morning, like this man, and you're an orphan. You feel abandoned. Or a widow, you feel helpless. Or a woman or a man, you feel neglected. You think everyone is against you. No one is on your side. I came to let you know, one with God is majority.
Amen.
If God be for you, no man can be against you.
Amen.
God is present.
Amen.
Take advantage of the Lord's presence and begin to excel. Hallelujah. Begin to celebrate God, because God will never leave you. He is present. As I end this message this morning, I want to remind you again of these three things. God sees. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He sees your pain. He sees your struggle. He sees the secret tears that you share at night. He feels the pain that you can't share with anybody. Number two, God is not man. Men promise and they fail. I've seen people say, meet me tomorrow by this time, 7. 7, their number is not going through. God will never promise and fail. God is not man. And number three, God is always present. If you look for him, you will find him. Can we stand on our feet? I want you this morning just begin to thank the Lord. And tell yourself, God, thank you because I'm not alone. Begin to thank him. Say, thank you, Lord, because I'm not alone. Thank you, El Shaddai, because I'm not alone. I am not alone.
Thank you, Lord. I'm not